ask you to turn to the 22nd Psalm this morning to start off with. What I want to talk to you about today, if the Lord would bless me, I've been reading through the Psalms just in my own, you know, reading. And this kind of jumped out at me. But anyway, there are three different places in the Psalms where we find the expression, the great congregation. So that's what I want to try to talk to you about today. The great congregation. And I'm going to tell you, you're sitting in it. In Psalm 22, now the 22nd Psalm, a lot of writers refer to the 22nd Psalm as the Psalm of the Cross, because there are actually words in the 22nd Psalm that our Lord quoted while he was hanging on the cross. And it's, of course, a lot in the Psalms is David speaking, but then there's a good bit of what is in the Psalms that is not just David speaking, but speaking prophetically as if it were Christ. So verse 22. Of the 22nd Psalm. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. By the way, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12, the writer there quotes this verse. And here's the way he quotes it in Hebrews. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. So that's how I know that the word congregation in verse 22 there, I have all the authority in the world to say it's speaking of the local church. And David said, in the midst of the church will I praise you. And our Lord did that too. And skip down to verse 25 for the sake of time. My praise shall be of thee. So who are we praising? We're not praising Jalen Hurts. Now, I'm all for Jalen Hurts. But we're not here to praise Jalen Hurts. We're here to praise the Lord, to worship Him. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear Him. Wow. Now the first thing I want to say about this, it says, and there's two other places in the Psalms, I'll try to get to them if I can, where it uses the expression, the great congregation. And it's the church, the local church. But now here's what it doesn't say. It doesn't say the congregation of the great. That'd be wholly different. Now I want you to know, with all the love that I have, and I don't want to swell your head or anything like that, but I am absolutely convinced the Point Remove Church is the great congregation. I say that to you with all the love of my heart. But I'm also going to say to you with all the love in my heart that you're not the great congregation because you're so great. That sounds crazy. And in other words, what I mean by that is, in and of yourself, by your own nature, what are we all by nature? Sinners, and I don't mean just a little bit. The scripture describes us as, well, it says the Lord did look, you know, in in Psalms and then also in the book of Romans that the Lord looked at all the human race to see if there was any that did good, any that sought after God. And by the way, this means in and of themselves. Is there any person out there that just as a human being, in and of his or her human nature, without God, that by themselves, is there any of them that seek after God or know anything about God? And the conclusion that the Lord came to, and by the way, when the Lord comes to a conclusion, we know it's right, whether we like it or not. The conclusion the Lord came to was that there is none good. None that seeketh after him. And in case you don't know what none means, no, not one. And even, that's before we're born of God. And even after we're born of God, we still have struggles. Some of the men that prayed about the struggles that they face. And isn't it true that, I mean, you know, even when we want to do right, we have this old flesh that's just, I don't know what it's like. It's just like a resistance. It's like, you know, we're wanting to go forward and the flesh is pulling us backward. We face that all the time, don't we? I tell you, you're a great congregation. The church, the local assembly is the great congregation. Not because you're so great in and of yourself, but because of what the Lord has done for you and to you and what he has made you. And I was talking to Brother Mike the other day, and we're all, let's face it, every one of us, as far as our Christian walk, we're works in progress. I really wonder sometimes how much we should, every one of us, we're works in progress, we need to do better. We fail, we have faults, and so forth and so on. But then I'm going to tell you right now, we better not be dwelling on that negative aspect of it too much, or it'll depress us so bad we can hardly lift our heads. We are not so great in and of ourselves, but I tell you, the Lord has made a great congregation out of his people. It is a great congregation. Do you believe church is great? Who was it that said in their prayer, this is the best place we could be, most important place? Now he says in verse 25, my praise shall be of thee, David and Christ say, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. Now I want you to know, you should be praising God no matter where you are. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, if you're sitting down to a good meal, praise the Lord for it. Praise the Lord, you can pay for it and then try not to eat too much of it. When Jimmy Fulmer says, come go with me to breakfast at Old South, go, but just have oatmeal. Now, that's not what I do. But we should be praising God no matter where we are. Praising God on a deer stand, praising God on a creek bank, praising God if you're watching an Alaskan sunset. It doesn't matter. We need to be praising God. But I'm going to tell you right now, the most important place for you to be to praise God is in the great congregation. And the thing that breaks my heart and burdens me so much is so many of God's children never get in here. So many of them never make the commitment, never make the journey, never see the blessing and the benefit of being part of the great congregation. And they don't know what they're missing. And the hard thing is, it's almost impossible to explain how you're going to explain to them what they're missing. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. The best place for you to praise God. You can praise God anywhere, but every one of us as God's children ought to be very serious about praising God in the great congregation. This is where it ought to be happening. More than anywhere else, to a greater degree than anywhere else, etc. Oh. And then he said, I will pay my vows before them that fear. fear him. So here's an individual that has made vows to be a part of the great congregation. Made the commitment to be a part of the great congregation. And is even saying, I'm going to pay my vows in front of all of them. Isn't that great? Isn't that a blessing? I think about it a lot. All right. Turn over to the 35th Psalm. 35th. The great congregation. And while you're turning there, let me tell you, this is the greatest congregation you can ever be a part of. Say amen. It's a lot better than being the head of the English department at Ole Miss, which I thought one time I wanted to be. The professor of Southern Studies at Ole Miss. It's a whole lot better to be part of this great congregation than to be in the English department at Ole Miss. It's a whole lot better to be a part of the great congregation than a part of either of the houses of Congress. Do we need to pray for those men and women? Absolutely. Let us pray for them. Pray for our president. Like Brother Harold prayed, that the Lord would lead them to make decisions that maybe they themselves don't even understand, and maybe they themselves in the somehow maybe not even agree with, but the Lord would lead them to make the decisions to be good for this country, good for God's people. But I'm going to tell you right now, neither of those is as, this is as great as the great congregation. The United Nations is not as great as the great congregation. Am I opposed to the United Nations? Not necessarily. I'm just telling you, this congregation I'm describing is about the greatest thing you can be a part of. It beats the Rotary. It beats the Lions Club. It beats the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. This is the great congregation. I don't know of a better one. I don't know of a higher one. I do not know of a higher congregation. Did you know? The decisions made by the great congregation, the church, the local assembly, there is no court in the land to which can counter or overturn her decisions. The only person that rules over her, who's her head and where is her head? Christ is the head of the church. Is that not a mind-boggling thing? All righty. Psalms 35, verse 18, look at this one. This has the expression, the great congregation, in it as well. Hey, listen, if you don't learn anything this morning, I want you to go out of here believing that the local church is the great congregation. And if it is great, how great is it to be part of it? Isn't it funny how we... Is it not funny how we want stuff? We think we want stuff that when you're, you know, when you're younger, you think you want stuff, and when you're about to turn 60, which, by the way, Brother Harold pointed out to me again this week that is not middle-aged. That is like, you know, 5/6 dead. Brother Harold said, who ever saw a lady be 120? But anyway, so about to turn 60 years old, and isn't it interesting how you look back on stuff that you thought was so important, and oh, it's just not quite as important as it once was. As Brother Don Ferris used to say, so soon old, so late smart. I'm telling you right now, this is the great congregation. Are you with me? The Bible calls it the great congregation. The local assembly, what in Hebrews is called the church, is the great congregation. I will give thee thanks. Now, can you give God thanks anytime? Yes, you can give God thanks anytime. But here David is saying, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I'm going to give thanks in the great congregation. I love that. Now, the next part of this really blows my mind. Look at the next part of that verse. I will praise thee among where one or two are gathered together. Is that what it says there? No. It says, I will praise thee among much people. There's nothing wrong with wanting more people. In fact, we should want more people. David said, I will pray. In other words, there's strength in numbers. Amen? There's strength in numbers. I think about that, and almost every time I think about that, I think about a sermon Brother Harold preached many years ago on the threefold cord. And he quoted over there in Ecclesiastes where two are greater than one. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And of course, I stole his outline and preached it to myself. And I did not give him maybe full credit for it. But think about it. Two are better than one. Brother Helen preached that and said, I'd rather have $2 than $1 anytime. Wouldn't you? Two are better than one. That means there's strength in numbers. Isn't that outstanding? David said, first of all, I'm going to give the Lord thanks in the great congregation, and I'm going to praise him. Can you praise the Lord wherever you are? You ought to be praising the Lord wherever you are. Okay, I'll tell you this little story. I hesitate to tell you because Becky's after me about how pitiful my driving is all the time. But I was going to back my truck around while my dad was with me, and I backed my truck around to the gate so that I can put all the limbs I had clipped in the back of the truck. And as I was backing around there and I swung around, I got frightfully close to the neighbor's mailbox. And I didn't hit it, but it was too close for comfort. And I just breathed a little prayer of thanksgiving. I said, Lord, thank you for taking care of me when I'm an idiot. Thank you for taking care of me when I'm not got smarts enough to take care of myself. For watching out over me when I can't watch. How many times has the Lord blessed us to avert disaster by maybe the narrowest of margins? And we need to be thanking him for everything that he's given us all the time, but we also need to be committed to give him thanks in the great congregation. It's a great place to be. It's a great place to make a commitment and make vows before. I'm telling you. I simply cannot think of any entity, social or otherwise, social, political, it doesn't make any difference, educational, I cannot think of any entity that it is more important to be a part of than the great congregation. And I hope you agree. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Okay, now, Psalms 40. Turn over to the 40th Psalm, and here we are going to quote some more words that are of our words of our Lord. This is actually referred to in the New Testament. The 40th Psalm, to prove to you that it is speaking of the Lord, look at verses 7 and 8, where it said, Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Now, we know from the New Testament that that is a prophetic reference to our Lord himself. There's no doubt about it. Then look at verse 9. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. You know, the Lord sang hymns in the great congregation. Can you sing hymns while you're washing dishes? If you have, okay, it is, man, that's terrible. Ooh, you know what I almost said? If you're not too mad that you're washing dishes. Or me, but yes, when we're washing dishes or washing clothes or mowing the yard or doing whatever, we can be singing praise to God, can we not? But I'm going to tell you right now, the best place to sing praise to God is in the great congregation. In the great congregation, that's what we do around here. Jesus said, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Did he or did he not? Now, did he preach at other places? Absolutely he did. He preached. Actually, the Lord just about preached everywhere he went. And you're saying to me, well, that's good for the preachers, but I'm not a preacher. Well, let me say to you, you can preach great sermons and powerful sermons simply by the life you live. And sometimes I think those are the most powerful sermons. Sometimes I think that's right. May God help us all. So, said, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have you refrained your lips from saying good things about God and Christ and church and so forth while you're out milling around? I'm guilty too. I'm trying to do better. You know, we all need to do better about that, don't we? Just be more willing, more open, more ready just to say good things about what Christ and what he's done for us. You know how much we enjoy God and Christ and church and our friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. You know? The Lord said, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. Now this next is interesting. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. Now, question. Did the Lord have the righteousness of God in his heart? Like no other person that has ever lived. So what does it mean when it says, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart? It means the Lord talked about it. He brought it out. He didn't just keep it in his heart. He brought it out to where other people could see it. Was it in his heart? Absolutely. Every one of us need to be hiding the righteousness and the laws of God in our own hearts as well. We're supposed to be hiding the word in our hearts. But we better be also willing, like the Lord was, to bring it out and speak of it. That's where we have trouble, isn't it? I have declared thy faithfulness. This is in the great congregation. I've declared thy faithfulness. Do you not love the hymn, Great is thy faithfulness? I have declared thy faithfulness. How faithful is God? Absolutely, perfectly, uber, 100,000,000%, the Lord is faithful. If he gives his word, he's going to keep his word. Whatever he says he's going to do, he's going to do. He's not going to slack out, be a slacker. He's going to get it all done. His work is perfect. He gets it 100% done. He doesn't leave anything undone. I have declared thy faithfulness. You know what? All of us ought to be declaring the faithfulness of God too. And thy salvation. I've declared thy salvation. There's no better place to do that than in the church, in the great congregation. How do you do that? Well, we do that by singing hymns, praying to God, etc., etc. I have not concealed thy loving kindness. Is the Lord great in loving kindness? It is unbelievable how patient he is, how kind he is to us. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. So the Lord apparently felt like the church was the great congregation. And he started out with just a few. The first communion service, there were only 12 present. Well, 13 counting the Lord. The Lord said that was a great congregation. Those men were not great because they were greater than them themselves. They were great because of what the Lord had done for them and the gifts that God had given them and the work that they were going to perform, the work that God had given them to perform and the work that they did perform for the Lord. Absolutely. Now there's one more here. Well, actually there's more than one more I want to refer to, but I want you to flip over now to the 111th Psalm, and it does not use the expression great congregation, but it's still speaking of the same thing in the 111th Psalm. And I don't think I thank the men that were willing to lead in prayer, but I want to thank all the men that were willing to lead in prayer, and I know there would have been others that would have been willing to lead in prayer as well. Thank you very much for that. 111th Psalm, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. That's a commandment, by the way. That's a commandment just as much as honor your father and mother. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord, David said. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. You may say to me, and when I read that, I thought too, I said, I can't praise the Lord with my whole heart because part of me is so bad. But I think what I would say, I will praise the Lord wholeheartedly. I will give it my all, give it my best. It's serious business to praise the Lord. I will do that wholeheartedly. We use the expression, you're all in. We need to be all in when it comes to praising the Lord. Especially in the local assembly, great congregation. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. In the assembly of the upright, you want to to know one reason why the great congregation is so great? Because every person that's in there, God has made them upright. Now, how did he do that? Well, he sent Christ to die on the cross for them. Jesus Christ bore their sin dead on the cross of Calvary. He rose from the dead 3 days and three nights later to declare that he had made them just. And then at some point in their lives, each and every one of those people is given eternal life by the immediate operation of Holy Spirit God. And that's what makes you just, makes you righteous in the inner man. That's why you're just. That's why, as the scripture here says, you're upright. You are not upright because you uprighted yourself. You're upright because God set you upright. But you are upright. You are. Let me tell you something. You are no longer, none of you that are in the great congregation, none of you that are here and you love Christ and you love God and you hate sin, none of you are still totally depraved. No, you're not. God has already given you eternal life, and you're upright in the inner man, and you can do things that are pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. Not because of what you've done, but because of what he's done for you. Isn't that great? In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. I think the word "and" there means even. So he says, I am going to praise the Lord with my whole heart. I'm going to praise the Lord wholeheartedly. I'm going to have some gumption when it comes to praising the Lord in the house of God. In the assembly of the upright, even in the congregation. That's what that means. The assembly of the upright is the congregation. It is the great congregation. It is the great congregation because of what God has made you and what he's done for you. And also, may I say, of the incredible blessing, the incredible privilege we have to meet from time to time as an assembly, as a congregation, and honor him as such. It is absolutely incredible, and how we take it for granted until we get to where we can't come. Shame on me that when I can come, it doesn't mean as much to me. Just let the parallel I'll make of that is just let a physical ability be removed from you and see how much you appreciate having had that physical ability. Even just walking across the room. I get up and walk across the room and don't even thank God for the fact that I have the ability to get up and walk across the room. Are y'all with me? That's what I mean. What God has given you and the blessings he's given you, the spiritual abilities that he's given you, what a blessing they are. Now, what I want to do to close out, I want to back up to a couple of expressions in the 84th Psalm to close out this little sermon here with some things that David said, and see if you can agree with any of these statements about the great congregation, the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The highest institution you can be part of on this planet. It is elsewhere called, listen, this thing I'm describing to you here in the great congregation is elsewhere in the scriptures called the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven. I mean, it is called some amazing, this thing I'm describing to you, which just people can't even see it hardly, because all it is people. Sinners that are saved, bound together as a congregation. It's unbelievable. Now here's what David had to say about it. 84th Psalm, I'll just read you three or four verses here. Verse 1, look at this. How amiable. That doesn't use the word great congregation here. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. This great congregation is amiable. You know what amiable means? I looked it up in my handy dandy trusty Oxford English Dictionary. Amiable. It means simply friendly, kind. Can I say to you, there I do not know of any institution on the earth that will be more friendly to you than the great congregation. I don't know of an institution under the canopy of heaven that will be kinder to you than the great congregation. And when I say friendly and kind, I mean according to what God says, because sometimes, yes, we come to the great congregation and we hear things that are painful. Amen? Things that stomp our toes a little bit, and that happens to the preacher too, not just the congregation. I wish everybody here understood that. You can ask Brother Harold if I'm telling you the truth. But even that, I would say that even that is amiable. Even that is friendly. Even that is kind. God does not tell us things that are painful to us to be mean. God tells us those things that are painful to us to be kind and to help us to do better. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Can you say amen to that? Would you agree with that? That the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a kind and friendly place? I tell you something else. You're not going to be loved anywhere else like you're loved in the great congregation. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have one love, one for it. You're going to be loved here like you're not loved anywhere else. Really loved. Verse 2, my soul longeth. You ever feel this way? My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. Now, the courts of the Lord, that's not tennis courts. The courts of the Lord, since he's a king, he lives in a court. He's got a court. And this is saying, my soul longs for the great congregation. My soul faints for it. I'm going to tell you right now, your soul is longing for it. Even if your carnality, maybe you don't like the idea so much, there's a part of you that yearns for it. It's called the born-again part. And that's the part we need to listen to. David said, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Do you realize that the living God is present in the great congregation like he's present nowhere else? Verse 4 and verse 10. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. How blessed is that man alive. I shudder to think the shape I would be in if I had not had the influence of the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in my life for the most of my life. I don't even want to think about the shape I would be in if that had not been in my life all of my life. I don't even like the shape I'm in now. Y'all understand? I am not saying that I'm in good shape. I am not in good shape. But I'm telling you right now, I don't even want to think about how pitiful it would be if I hadn't had the church having an influence on me down through the years. Can you say amen to that? It's a wonderful place. It is a blessed place to be, and people that dwell in the house of God are blessed. It is a blessing to be there. Now the next part of that says, they will be still praising thee. Now the word still there does not mean not moving around. It means continually. They will be continually praising thee, the ones that dwell in the house of God. And I close with verse 10. Man, I love this. Becky and I read this to Becky this week. Listen at it. And this was in the last hymn we were saying. For a day in thy courts. One day. Listen. One day. In the great congregation. One day. Is better than 1,000 period, and that means 1,000 days anywhere else you want to go. One day in the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is better than 1,000 anywhere else. It's better than 1,000 in Congress. It's better than 1,000 in Las Vegas. It's better than 1,000 in the UN. On and on I could go. That's what David's opinion was. A day in thy courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. Wow. You want to know why? You're going to get things in the house of God you're not going to get anywhere else. And lastly, that last expression, David said, I had rather be a doorkeeper. That means a greeter at Walmart. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. You know what doorkeepers do? They open the door to let people in. That is really, well, that's really profound, but it's really profound. May I say, it might be possible, you know, okay, I would be perfectly happy to stand at the door and open the door and let people in. Literally at the door. But I'm wondering if there might be a way that we can let people in a door that's not literal. You with me? David said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And boy, do I say amen to that. There's nothing in the tents of wickedness that's going to do you any good or me any good. It's going to be harmful and to us. Okay, I appreciate your attention. Appreciate the prayer.